Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You. This is a video and podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my pleasure and honor to welcome the well-known married guy, Amit Tandon, to our show. Amit, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Pleasure.
Amit is an engineer and an MBA. And he's a stand-up comedian, and I'm sure everyone who's listening to us or seeing us would have seen him. And it is really fantastic to have him on the other side of the mic, answering my questions. So Amit, before I get into stand-up comedy, tell me a little bit about your early work and your learnings.
So one is, I'm an engineer and an MBA, you know, like a lot of good boys, you know, families. I worked in the corporate sector for a couple of years and then started my own company. So always had this thing that I wanted to do something of my own. So I ran an HR consulting firm for around 10 years. Okay. But when I was 5 years into the company, that's when I got into comedy. The reason I got into comedy was that I was kind of restructuring my business, because first 5 years in HR, we grew pretty quickly for HR standards. So in 5 years, we moved from 2 people to 45 people. I wanted to restructure it in a way that, you know, we are ready for the next level of growth. And I got a business coach on board to help me do that. And the business coach actually recommended a book to me called The 4-Hour Workweek. So one of the things he did was that he told me, why don't you read this book? And that book by Timothy Ferris. And it talks about how to efficiently manage your business, okay? But it also talks about setting goals outside of your professional life. That if you're going to save so much time in managing your business, what will you do with that time? So you have to set goals. So first time in my life, I took a book seriously. I started writing down goals. Okay. And the first goal that I wrote was that I will try stand-up comedy. The reason why I did it was because in college time, I used to host the college, you know, festival or write for all the, you know, all the shows that used to happen in, you know, college. So I was more of a writer and a director. Right. And then I thought that, you know, maybe because I can only work alone now, let me try stand up. So that's how I got into comedy, you know, after 12 years of no stage, you know. Suddenly I got on stage, like I googled where comedy is happening. So there's small bars and pubs where, you know, these companies host open mic nights where anybody can register and do 5 minutes on stage. So that's how 2010 it started. By 2012-2013, I got familiar with comedy, is what I would call. Started doing some corporate shows and, you know, started getting money out of it, which was never the plan. By 2016, I started releasing my videos and somehow they went viral, you know, thanks to the internet era. You know, art is democratized a lot because of internet. You know, you are not dependent upon a TV channel or a movie producer to help you get to people. So 2016, it started and people loved what I did. The videos went viral on WhatsApp, YouTube, and God knows where all. So then, you know, I realized that I could sell tickets also well. So 2016 onwards, it suddenly, you know, from selling 40, 50 tickets, I was going to 500 tickets, 1,000 tickets. And since then, it's been, you know, I've traveled to 28 countries now, performed across 28 countries. Thanks to India's population, we are everywhere. And today, I'm here. I have a couple of Netflix shows, you know, lots of videos and performed across so many countries. So that's the journey.
That's quite amazing. You know, I've met so many people who want to pursue a passion, but their biggest problem is ki, I don't know when to start. I don't have the guts to start. And when I was reading about you, I said, this young man has had the guts to break away from the corporate world or the consultant and venture out on its own in a difficult way.
It's a tough decision. It's a really tough decision. For me, honestly, the decision was more around how much of a hit I could take with my HR consulting firm. Okay, so for 5 years, I ran the HR consulting 6 years, I ran the HR consulting firm and did Compi together, which meant that a lot of times, you know, I was not around in the company. So I was making enough money to take care of home, but beyond that, it was like, okay, you know, I'm not growing. I wanted to move from 45 people to, earlier the plan was, you know, maybe 300, 400 people in the next 5 years. That didn't happen. But somewhere I said, you know, when I started experiencing comedy, I knew that this is what I wanted to do. You know, I knew that this is where I want to be in the next few years. And the other thing that happened for me was, I think 2012, when I did my first corporate show, was when I realized that I could make decent money out of it also. So it's like, you know, when you've been running a business, and I've actually been an investor also in a couple of other businesses. So you know when there is an opportunity. You know that, you know, this is something that I can, you know, if I spend enough time, I can build into something bigger in terms of money as well, and not just in terms of passion. So I think I got that also.
Amazing. So Amit, tell me, you know, met so many people around the world. My general sense is that we as Indians do not know how to laugh at ourselves, and we do not appreciate someone making fun of us. And yet when I see stand-up comedy, that is beginning to change. So what is changing in our country?
So yes, we are very sensitive people. I completely agree with that. What's happened is, I think one, television played a major role. Okay. Because if you look at a lot of, you know, the laughter challenge, the kind of shows that were coming in earlier, what happens is that they generally have a judge or whatever they call that person. So you have Navjot Singh Sidhu, you have Archana Puran Singh and all those people coming. And the performers would make a joke on those guys and they would laugh.
Correct.
So that kind of somewhere sent a signal that it's okay to laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's made some difference. I would still say that we are very far from, you know, countries like America and all, where people are still very sensitive in India. Mm-hmm. But I think there's some difference that has happened thanks to television. Right. Hopefully it will get better with time.
I'm sure it will. Because, you know, as I was just telling you, I'm much older than you are. But my experience with comedy was either a drunk guy making a fool of himself on in Indian cinema, or slapstick, you know, or laughing at someone else. But that has changed completely, I find, you know.
Yeah, this is a different form of comedy. So what you are seeing now, you know, is what America saw in the 70s, 60s or 70s, the club comedy that started, where everybody who's performing is also a writer by himself. So, you know, in the comedy that you see now, everybody's a content creator on his own. So if you'll see 10 different comedians, somebody's telling you a story about Indore, somebody's telling you a story about Bombay, you know, somebody's talking about him being married.
Correct.
So the flavor of comedy that way changed a lot. And for me, fortunately, it worked very well, because being a middle-class guy from, you know, with a marriage and everything, the kind of stories I was telling, everybody was like, okay, so this is what happened at our home as well. So works at a different level.
So that, in fact, you almost answered my next question, which is, what is your unique style? I mean, I find when I see you on stage, I connect with you, right? And I've not come to see you perform live, but I've seen several of your shows on TV and on YouTube. What is it that you do differently that you are able to establish such a great connection?
The genre that I perform in is called relatable, you know, relatable observational comedy. Okay. So I just pick up observations from everyday life and I talk about them. And, you know, coming from a strata, which is, you know, much larger, the middle class, as we call it, the number of people who connect and they say, oh my God, I have lived this joke myself. Okay. Is fairly large. So that kind of works for me.
So people identify with their own lives.
Yeah.
You know, as someone was telling me long time back, the reason why Saas Bahu serials are so popular is because when people are watching, they're saying, this is happening in my own house.
See, the thing is, with humor, what has happened is, I think the competition has increased a lot, because, you know, you have a mobile phone in your hand. You know, on WhatsApp, you get 50 jokes every day. Okay, you'll read those jokes, you'll smile, you'll laugh. But end of the day, if I ask you, what jokes you read, you won't remember anything.
No, yeah.
Okay. So in comedy, I have to go beyond that. I have to say something that will you will take back home a week later, you would remember. Okay. So I can't be slapstick. Okay. Slapstick comedy, you know, as I define, you know, as we saw a lot of times, you know, on television also, 80% of it was that, you know, my wife sleeps with somebody else. Mm. I sleep with neighbor's wife. You know, we don't know whose child it is. Mm. That's like 80% of the comedy.
Very true. Very true. Yes.
But those jokes you would laugh at, but you won't remember the next day. There, the point was that, you know, somebody, you know, in stand up, the thing is, you watch my video, if you will not remember me, you won't buy my ticket.
Correct. Very true. Well said. Well said. Well said.
So that's what we.
Very good. Very good. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about, you know, your popular comedy face off show called Fight Comic in Singapore.
Yeah, so that's something that I saw in Singapore. Again, 2012, 2013, I had traveled to Singapore for an HR conference, but I ended up watching one of these shows called Fight Comic there. And I loved the format, you know, I loved the format, how it was working. Because for us, normally what happens is to write a 90-minute show, it takes you around an year, year and a half to write a tight 90-minute show. Whereas this is like six people on stage and the amount of effort that goes is only like 1 week and you come up with a 90-minute show. So I was like, this is fantastic. This is something that should work in India. And so I bought the rights for that show from Singapore, you know, from the guy who used to run that, and started doing live shows of, you know, Fight Comic in India. We did around 25, 26 shows. Then we had some brand interest and, you know, there's a production house that's interested in it. So now we've recorded it and we are pitching it to different OTT platforms. So maybe we'll see it live on television sometime.
Well, I look forward to that. And then, you know, let's talk to me a little bit about your own show, Family Tendencies, on Netflix. What did it feel like to get your own show?
The first Hindi solo on Netflix ever. Okay. The great thing about Netflix is that the reach that you get, okay, a lot of new audience you reach out to, the production standards you understand are very different, like, because normally the videos that we release are shot with three cameras of, you know, 4K quality each and, you know, some mics and stuff. For this, the amount of production that got into this show is as much as a big television show, you know. We had to book a studio, we had to, you know, we had to get like seven different cameras of, you know, very high quality.
Right.
The rent of that camera is more than the cost of the camera that we used to shoot with earlier.
Yes.
And all of that. And the beauty is the reach. I never knew that people watch comedy with, you know, with subtitles, because it's released with 20 languages and subtitles. Okay. I've come to know that people have watched it in Spain and liked it. Yes. Spanish people,
yes,
who don't even know English. So that's the experience with, you know, working with Netflix. You understand what production house standards are, because I'm now working on stuff which is way beyond comedy. So it's a great learning for me there also.
Fantastic. So any plans of your own TV show?
There are a lot of things that are right now in the, you know,
In the works.
So let's see. It's not going to be the kind of show that we see right now. It won't be in the sitcom domain. That's something that I'm working on. So hopefully, whenever it happens.
Interesting. So, you know, you're almost answering my questions before I'm asking. So I love watching Western sitcoms, and I often wonder why don't we have interesting sitcoms in India? You know, which would appeal, not again, as you say, comedy has to go beyond physical characteristics or the ability to speak differently or something, you know. And I'm glad you're bringing that in now.
Trying to do that, because a sitcom is one of the toughest genres to write, because there's the typical format is that, if I have to tell you technically, it's there's a standard format for all sitcoms in the world. So there are there's a track A, track B that starts in a show, and there are two escalations for each of the tracks, and end of the episode both the tracks close. It's easy to say, but to cover it in 22 minutes or 20 minutes is a tough job. I'm working on it right now, I'm telling you. It's quite a learning.
So one more question for you on comedy before I have a few questions for you personally. And this question is that you need a lot of content. Where do you get your motivation to keep coming up with such amazing lines repeatedly?
The content is all around us. Okay, that's how I look at it. So I do a lot of workshops on comedy also, where, you know, I help people, you know, I work on, you know, how do you find the right content? So everything around you is a content. The basic premise is that anything that you find weird or you find irritating in your life is content. So, for example, the usage of mask these days, you know, wherever we are going, you have to wear a mask. So when you go for a walk outside also, you know, in our society, if you go for a walk, so आधा time आपको नहीं समझ में आता सामने वाला कौन नमस्ते कर गया, आधा time आप किसी को नमस्ते करते हो उसको idea नहीं होता यार ये. So anything that you know, like, we judge everybody on the basis of mask, that, you know, they pull it down, but everybody pulls down masks at one level or the other. Everybody's just defined their own circle where they would pull down the mask.
Correct.
So anything that you see around you is content. Okay, so I write about stuff that frustrates me, irritates me, and kind of works for everybody. It's right. Just that you've got to work on how you talk about it. Okay, it's just the
No, I think
everybody knows what I'm saying. But
absolutely, it's almost like someone, you know, from an old school friend calls me on the phone and say ki pehchana nahi. Now I have not seen or heard him for 40 years, right? I had this experience with a mask a few days ago. Someone walked past me, I had ignored him. Then he rang me up and said, why didn't you say hi to me? So I said, with your mask covering your whole face, I don't even know who you are. You know? And I agree with you. So I mean, moving on, this is the age of millennials and the Gen Z. How are they changing you as a comedian? Because they are your audience. And they want, from my experience, they want instant gratification and quick solutions.
So my audience honestly still is 35 plus. Okay, for me it's actually very weird. I find it very weird. So the kind of people who follow me are 30 plus, okay, either 30, 35 plus, or kids. I don't know why, but kids. Maybe because I bring a father's point of view to the table a lot of times, but just kids also. The millennial generation doesn't really follow me too much. Where I get challenged is when I see other comedians who target that population, and these guys are, a lot of them are very good friends. What happens because of them is that I end up learning a lot more about technology. Okay, so I'm 45. Okay, so I take more time to learn something new or understand something new. But because of my circle of friends, they're like 25 year olds, 22 years old, you know, they pick up everything. And then I'm like, okay. So, right. So in the process, what I ensure is that I experiment with everything, you know, even if I don't use it permanently, but I go to every platform and say that, okay, let me see how it works. So that's more in the, you know, I learn from them, but they're not my audience. And honestly, their parents have more money. So I would rather target them.
Well said. So a few questions for you now personally. My first question, Amit, is that if you were a role model to millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
I'll think twice before speaking or saying something on social media. Okay. That's something that I would do. Because what happens is that the phone has made it very easy for us to express ourselves.
Correct.
What we don't understand is that it's going out to, you know, billions of people now. Okay, so sometimes when you're angry, you know, whether it's about the system, whether it's about, you know, at personal level, you end up ranting on social media. And then you realize that you are talking to everybody and not just to people in your drawing room. That's something that I would definitely change.
Interesting. And what does success mean to you?
Success for me means I sleep peacefully at night and, you know, I don't really feel jealous of anybody else. That, oh my God, I don't have what somebody else has. So that's how I look at success. Okay.
The next question is, what has been the most exciting aspect of your role as a stand-up comedian?
The most exciting aspect is the number of lives you touch.
Uh-huh.
Okay. the number of times we get those messages where, you know, somebody would write to you that I am in the hospital for 2 weeks, you know, and it's very depressing, but I watch your comedy and that kind of makes me laugh. Or when you end up performing for, you know, MSSI, you know, Multiple Sclerosis Society of India, and the patients, you know, and multiple sclerosis, you know, there were people who were on wheelchair for, you know, like 10 years, 12 years. There were, I still remember there was this parent, you know, the parents of this girl who had, you know, who was like 21, 22, and she was on the wheelchair. And they said, you know, we don't really laugh ever because, you know, we are on a 24-hour duty. You know, when your kid is on the wheelchair 24 hours a day. But thanks to you, we laughed for an hour. Wow. I don't think there's anything beyond that, that you know, that's, I think I would like to achieve.
That's incredible. So I have now time for two more questions. Next question is that if you were to tattoo your arm with a message to yourself, what would you write?
I think if I have to write myself a message, there's a very nice quote that in the end, a pessimist might prove to be right, but it's the optimist who had a great time throughout.
What a nice statement. Fantastic. I must remember that. And my last question to you, you know, we started this off talking about the pandemic and video calls. How are you as a stand-up comedian who interacts physically with so many people across the stage? How are you rethinking your whole life in this new world order?
At the beginning, there was a lot of panic because for me, what happened was that 28th February is when my Netflix special released. So I had a world tour planned after that. Okay. And 5th, 6th March, everything started getting locked. After my solo release, I didn't get to do any live shows. You know, I had a tour with Hrithik Roshan in US in April. You know, I was doing 8 shows with him. I was doing a lot of stuff after that, Australia, Canada and all. But what's happened is that we, you know, because of Zoom, you know, we started doing online shows. It's worked very well for me. Okay. You have to change your mindset. You have to change the format in which you perform. So, for example, earlier, we were 15 feet away from the first row of people who sat. Okay. Now, we are only 2 feet away because, you know, that's the distance between camera and you.
Yeah.
So your body language doesn't matter, but your expressions matter much more.
Okay.
Second, you don't treat it as a stand-up show. I treat it like I'm sitting with my friends in drawing room and talking to them.
Okay.
So you have to change your mindset. You have to change the way you perform, the way you connect with the audience, because earlier the, you know, the first row was those 10, 15 people.
Yeah.
Now everyone's in the front row.
Everyone's front row. Yeah. That's very true. That's such a positive way to, you know, think about life. Yeah. And what a great way to end the show.
So it's working. It's taken us a lot of effort to get where we are. But, you know, for me, the thing was, as soon as the pandemic started, first thing I did was I started doing workshops every week online. Okay. To keep myself busy, I knew the platform very well. I knew Zoom very well because I'd been using it so often. And I knew, you know, how to use it properly, you know, how to interact with people. I was very comfortable with that. So for me, that transition was not that tough. Monetarily, it's much lesser than what we were making. But I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing right now.
Wonderful. So Amit, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. And I sincerely hope you get back on the road, do all your road shows. And what a pleasure and honor it has been for me to speak to you. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.